Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's managing director with Stiefel Nicholas. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And you, Kemp?
I'm all right. I'm okay. Thanks for asking. Actually, it's the first time we've talked this year, and for those that may not know who you are, you're actually the expert that follows the publicly traded companies, and I think you focus on a whole bunch of different markets, but you do focus some on the flooring business. So I thought it'd be good, since three of the companies that we follow, you also follow, that's Mohawk, Armstrong, and Interface. Before we get into those, though, let's just talk just briefly about, don't you think most everybody's glad that 2009 is behind us?
Yes, although if you're in the commercial arena, you still got some more tough sledding, but certainly on the residential side, which is the majority of the flooring business, it would appear that unit volumes have stabilized, albeit at depressed levels that are in some cases 30 to 50% below the peak. Mm-hmm. That's tough to stomach, but it's hard to see that business getting worse. In fact, much easier to see it getting better, perhaps dramatically so, in time.
And I noticed that, I think it was in the Mohawk conference call, they were saying that everybody thought the industry in 2009 was off about 14% from a dollar perspective. That's kind of the consensus, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what the carpet and rug numbers indicated for carpet. You know, some of the hard surface categories were more negatively impacted than the carpet business. Carpet looks like it may be, along with vinyl, turning on the residential side, turning positive the earliest. And,
right.
You know, some of that's a reflection, Kemp, on the trade down. We've certainly seen the consumer trade down and mix in virtually any consumer category, floor covering included.
Right.
And so those categories are going to benefit relative to ceramic and
hardwood,
which are obviously much more expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, as we get into these, let's go on into Mohawk, since it's the biggest one. But along those lines, overall, sales in the fourth quarter for Mohawk were down 8%, Deltal down 20%. You think that's because of that, what you were just talking about?
Yeah, a combination of things going on there. First of all, I'd comment that their carpet revenue is better than I thought it would be, but the vast majority of their carpet business is residential, and that's less bad on a year-over-year basis. Deltal has a heavier mix commercially, with at least 40% of their mix. That business is doing its best to catch up with the swan dive that residential's taken over the last 4 years. Commercial's trying to do it in an 18-month window. So the comparisons to commercial are quite negative. And then, as we talked about, there's certainly some mix shift in the residential business from more expensive tile to lower-end tile. So you have a combination of things impacting the revenue on Deltal right now, more so than the carpet business.
I was actually surprised to see that Stiefel Nicholas has them at a hold, because, that's a company Mohawk has done. They were early on doing the cost cutting. They've closed 16 different manufacturing plants and 27 distribution centers, and they've laid off or right-sized 4,000 people. So why would you have them on hold now?
Well, the company's done an outstanding job of trying to adjust its cost structure to the volume of business, which it's been difficult to get out in front of that, obviously, with the 40% type declines we've seen on average in many of their key end markets. The controllables, as I call them, are more the balance sheet, and there they've done a remarkable job of deleveraging, but they had a lot of debt as a result of the purchases of both Unilin and Daltile. So they've been managing that balance sheet aggressively by, among other things, sourcing working capital, i.e. working down inventory, and obviously receivables have fallen as well with sales down, and then cutting capital spending. So they've certainly done a yeoman's job on that front. The current valuation is very high relative to the earnings expectations for the company, and therein really lies the nature for the whole rating. It's not a judgment on management. The stock is appropriately anticipating a level of recovery in the business, but you're really going to have to value Mohawk, as many of these names on 011 and really 012 and 013 earnings to justify the valuations that they're carrying. In other words, the market is anticipating a material recovery in business, and it's just a question of how fast it will come and the magnitude of that recovery.
Right. Okay. Well, and let's talk about Armstrong, which just came out today. They're, again, fourth quarter is about in line with what we're seeing with other companies, down about 8%. You know, a couple of things they've done, they're making money. Actually, all three of these companies made money despite the fall in revenue, didn't they?
Yeah, and, you know, Armstrong's got two big issues in flooring. One, they're generating a sizable loss out of their European operations, where the operating earnings there, I think, were negative $26 million in calendar 2009. And while they're going to address that with some structural changes to that business, those changes are actually going to require a near-term investment in additional capital in moving around and shutting down things within several countries. So it's actually going to cost them a little bit more in earnings this coming year with a subsequent rebound in 2011. But you know, they're generating a profit out of the domestic resilient business, but giving it all back in their European operation. And then the wood business, of course, has been challenged with that being so heavily tied to housing starts, and housing starts down 75%. You know, they've suffered on volume there. Now we've got lumber costs going up fairly dramatically,
right,
at a time when demand is very poor and pricing increases may be difficult. There's an announced increase. We'll see how that goes through. But it's kind of a strange situation where a combination of the weather and the unprofitable nature of the logging business, we've seen a lack of supply in a lot of the Appalachian chain areas. And yeah, that's putting a temporary squeeze on margin. And then on the Brazilian side, they're seeing cost pressures with plasticizers and resins rising, and again, a difficult pricing environment. So kind of an unusual time frame where you're seeing raw material increases, which normally would suggest that volumes are very good, and obviously that's not the case.
And they're actually doing some interesting things in the marketplace, too, you know, with this arrangement they've got with, you know, going direct with CCA Global. There's a little bit of risk involved there, I think. And they've just invested, I think, $25 million in a new glass-back sheet vinyl facility up there in Lancaster. So
they have, I think, on the latter point there, you know, they were importing that product from a facility in Europe, so they'll significantly reduce their freight costs and being able to supply that domestically. And it looks like there's a pretty good market for fiberglass-backed vinyl in the U.S., so that's sort of a no-brainer here. Again, some initial capital deployed, I think it was $25 million investment.
Right.
And some startup expenses relating to that, but ultimately, I think that will be a relative strong, you know, investment, a good decision. On CCA, you know, anytime you mess with going direct around your, you know, your core two-step distribution, you're gonna ruffle some feathers. We'll see how that thing plays out. You know, I have my questions about that, and we're just going to have to see how that all shakes out. I think that's a process that is very much a working process.
Right. Well, and then let's go to Interface real quick before we run out of time, because they're right in line. I think their sales for the fourth quarter, actually, they made a little bit more money relative to their amount of revenue, which I found pretty interesting.
Well, it's been the same old story at Interface. They continue to impress with the profitability of their tile lineup, which I think had 11% or so EBIT in the latest quarter, and you know, continues to be a struggle on the commercial Broadline Bentley Prince Street, which continues to lose money. Yeah, I think those who are in the Broadline commercial carpet business can sympathize or empathize, but nonetheless, some of the progress they're making in tile is being hurt. But you know, we continue to see, you know, a struggle in the end markets. I don't pay a lot of attention to the Architectural Billings Index, but it is a leading indicator that a lot of people look at, and it's still quite weak.
Yeah.
The overall commitment by corporations, both here and in Europe, is to adding jobs, which is ultimately what drives demand for new space and moving and demand for flooring. Is still, you know, that outlook's very questionable. So they're doing well in a very tough environment. I would continue to think they'll face headwinds in the macro arena throughout 2010. Hopefully we bottom on the commercial side in 2010. An Interface specifically can garner market share gains in some of the non-office categories, which has been critical to their success in keeping their revenue degradation somewhat less than the overall marketplace.
Well, now that you've listened to all of the leadership, management leadership of these companies through these conference calls, what is your outlook what's the consensus for 10? Residential is going to be weak until the third quarter, and then some life, and commercial will be weak through 10. What is that kind of what you're getting?
Yeah, you know, you got kind of on the residential side, you have the really, as I call it, housing completions, not housing starts. And those are clearly going to get better in the second half of the year than the first half. And so there might be somewhat of an uptick there, but we're coming off such a low base that the overall impact will be somewhat muted. What you'll likely see turn first would be the residential remodel. There's some encouraging signals coming out of Home Depot and Lowe's, but here again, we're doing so at lower price points. You could see what's happening with polyester carpet is a good example, where the nylon's not doing on a relative basis nearly as well. So, I suspect volumes will get better as we look at the year 2010. One would hope the residential markets are up year over year in volume, but you know, with some pressure on mix, and we'll see how the pricing raw material works out. We're in the midst of a price increase, as you know, with carpet trying to go through. The commercial side, it's clearly going to be negative for the year, and one can only hope that the second half is less painful than the first half, and that we can actually bottom. But we're going to, you know, it's going to be employment trends that really ultimately drive both markets. Confidence is tied to incomes, which is tied to employment. What we've seen in a recovery in the economy so far, in my opinion, is a recovery in GDP numbers, not a recovery in employment. You know, that's not a real recovery. It's a bunch of accounting numbers that Washington generates, and we really need to see jobs created. And I don't mean government jobs. I mean private sector jobs. And yet to really see that. So that will determine how quickly we come out of this thing. The good news, if there is any, is we've appeared to have weathered the worst in the residential side. It should get modestly better from here throughout this year, and perhaps dramatically better in 2011 and 2012, depending on employment trends.
Yeah, let's talk real quick about that. I mean, we just ran a story on Floor Daily today about the NAHB talking about the housing. They're predicting a housing shortage, a demand for 16 million homes in the next 10 years. And so real quick, I mean, most of these recessions that we go through, these cycles about every 10 years, you know, sometimes it's double-digit recovery. So we might see that in 2011, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at some data the other day, and I think it was 1983. The carpet industry unit volume was up in excess of 20% compared to the depressed 82 level. Wouldn't we love to see that in 2011 or 2012? Yeah, everybody's saying this one's going to be a slow recovery. You know, the consensus view is seemingly always wrong. You know, well, the reason people are saying it's going to be a slow recovery is because nobody's really bullish about hiring. And you know, as it relates to the specific housing numbers, I agree that if you look out long enough, we're clearly household formations are way above where our current build is. You know, the question is how many homes are going to come on the market that need to come on the market when you have 25% of existing homeowners underwater in their mortgages. You know, we really don't know the number of people that want to sell a home that can't sell a home. And there's, in other words, a potential massive supply still coming, and that's what makes any nearer term or intermediate term housing forecast very difficult.
Yeah. All right, John, I know you're headed to Europe this afternoon, so I appreciate you spending time with us this morning. I've been talking to John Ball now that three of the flooring companies have reported in, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.